Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
As a kid growing up in the late 70s, it's always inspired me to see people of color in the NHL.
I didn't see myself as a black hockey player. I saw myself as a hockey player.
My name is Dean Barnes. I've collected hockey cards since I was 8 years old, and I recently completed a 100-plus card collection of all the black and biracial players who made it to the NHL.
When you're on a hockey card, it's pretty cool.
I'm going to talk to all the players in the collection, as each of them has an amazing story to tell. We are proudly working with eBay to amplify these important stories. So, whether you're 8 or 80, we want you to be inspired. Find My Hockey Hero wherever you get your podcasts.
Just climb down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Ivories! Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous. Disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Are you sure you're recording the podcast? Is the podcast recording? Are we recording the podcast? Is it going? Are we recording? Is it
okay? So
hi.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Caffeine.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Welcome to the Canadian Politics. Yeah,
well, my name is Reese. I'm with Jesse. Me is Jesse.
Jesse, you're Reese.
Jesse's in a rush. He's going for a haircut.
And I've got a whole caffeine surging through me right
he's
now.
He's going to get his pubes trimmed. Coming.
Yep, that's yes. They've gotten out of control.
Ready for a big weekend.
And I don't know how to do it myself.
Last time you did it, there was a horrible accident. Now you go to a professional.
I don't want to talk about it.
Nobody does. So this episode, well, I'm rushing straight in.
You're rushing straight in, yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm suffering through winter, as one does.
I love winter.
I hate it so much.
I love winter.
I've always hated winter so
good. Why?
It's gray, it's cold, it's gross. I feel like that should be Nova Scotia's tagline or slogan. Gray, it's cold, it's gross.
Yeah.
Just like on the license plate. Just Welcome to Nova Scotia.
I love winter. One of the reasons I came to Canada.
You're one of those fucking optimists, though.
Love everything. I just love winter. But honestly, I'm one of those people. And I thought this today. I went out for a walk in my lunch break. And
It was freezing cold, so cold. And I felt it, my face hurt, my lips hurt. And I was like, but it was beautiful and sunny, and there was snow everywhere, and there were people skating on the oval as I walked past. And I was like, it's really pretty, it's really cold, but also it makes me really appreciate when summer comes. Because if it was summer all the time, if I lived in California and it was summer all the time, I wouldn't care. But
you know what? You're not wrong. I
need to experience both sides of the spectrum in order to appreciate the other.
I think.
And in the summer when I'm sweating my balls off, I wish it was winter.
Okay, I love summer. I love being hot. I do. I was born in the wrong climate. I need to be in a tropical location. I get what you're saying, and I do appreciate that. Like,
I didn't grow up in a cold, harsh winter country, and I like it.
I feel like I have experienced enough winters to be able to appreciate summer for the rest of my life.
You've done your time.
I've done my time. Done good, time. Yeah. But oh, like, I was in San Diego. I think I might have mentioned this before. I was in San Diego for a film festival, which San Diego is known as having perfect weather 365 days of the year. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but like almost not.
Yeah.
It's just like, hardly any clouds, beautiful blue sky.
You said everyone really, was angry.
Everyone was angry.
That's what the sun
is so weird.
It's not good for you.
But I mean, maybe that's what perfect weather does. 360, you know, they just don't.
You just lose your shit all the time. Well, the other thing.
This is why I like being friends with you, is because I am becoming an old, jaded, bitter man, and you snap me out of it.
Oh, it's because I'm delightful.
That's a word for it.
Yeah. I have a zest that is unparalleled.
If you were being tortured, you would find some way to enjoy that.
Oh, it's some new pliers. I didn't like the rusty ones yesterday. I'm glad you upgraded.
Right.
Rolling out the red carpet for me today. Like that?
Yeah, exactly.
My tactic in my head, which I know is entirely fictional and probably wouldn't play out like this, is that if I was ever kidnapped and tortured...
Hold on, you play this through your head?
No, you know, you watch films and you go, oh, God, that looks painful. I wouldn't like to be in that situation. And then you go on like a thought experiment. My tactic, if I ever get kidnapped and captured and they're going to torture me, would be pretend like I'm really enjoying the whole thing.
Like you're getting off on it?
Yeah, exactly. Because they'd be like... So they're, oh, Carl, hi. You know?
I don't know if you'd be able to keep that up, man.
No, I know. That's right. It's entirely fictional.
Oh, okay.
It's never
going
to happen anyway. Well, I hope it's never going to happen. But imagine freaking them out because you're like going, round two.
There are people out there where that does happen. There's a rewiring in the brain where pain gives them pleasure.
But I think that it'd be quite funny just to play the get one up on the person torturing you, but pretending like you're really, really, really having a good time.
That would be... something.
Again, not based in reality, because I imagine torture hurts. That's the whole point of it.
You deduced that, did you?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd make a great detective.
Like when they're pulling my fingernails out, it's going to be hard to fake that I'm enjoying it.
You'd give it your best college try, though.
I know. Yeah. Oh!
Yeah, in your mind, what would stop the torture is not giving them the information they require, but letting them think that you are getting off on it. That's what would stop the torture.
But torture is famously bad for getting information off people, because if you torture someone, they'll tell you they'll say whatever they need for the torture to stop, whether it's true or not.
Oh, really?
So, like, who gave you the plans? Who gave you the plans? And they'd be like, just hours of torturing people, just A/B testing.
Right? Yeah, of course.
But no, it's true. I can't remember reading the thing about it. It was the psychology of it. And it was saying that people sign confessions. You'll get these people who get, oh, this person, he was executed because of, you signed this confession.
I killed JFK. Stop it.
And you can get anyone to sign a confession if you beat the shit out of them for 3 days and don't let them sleep. They'll sign any piece of paper to make you stop. So it's that thing of it doesn't work.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which is why
torture doesn't work. Okay.
The only option is to pretend you like it and to freak them out.
Right. Yeah. That's the only option.
That is the only option.
Okay.
Because they're going to torture you anyway until you give in and tell them anything they want to know. So, you know.
Welcome to Canadian Torture is Boring. I'm Jesse. This is Reese.
Welcome to Canadian Torture is Joyful.
Canadian Torture is Joyful. Jesus. All right.
Oh God! Well, how do we end up here?
There was the small talk dimension.
I wanted to talk about a little bit. You know, let's move on from torture.
We went from winter to somehow into torture.
That was the other thing I was going to say, is that I'm I didn't expect the summers to be so hot in Canada, and they're particularly humid in Nova Scotia.
They can be wonderfully gross.
And I'm a sweater.
Oh,
I don't mean I don't mean I'm something you wear.
No, I know.
I'm one of those people. And one of the things I found really hard that I never came across before.
Yeah.
Like normally, like, so my remedy is to wear deodorant and to have a shower every day.
That's fine. Yeah, that works.
But there's this scent-sensitive thing in Canada that I've never experienced before.
Okay.
Where people are like, this is a scent-sensitive zone. You shouldn't wear any artificial scents on your body.
You've never experienced that before?
No, that's never, I've never heard of it until I moved to Canada.
Oh, that's interesting.
And people go, oh my God, your deodorant. Oh, no.
Well, I mean,
scent.
That's interesting that you've never...
I don't know what that is.
I mean, I've kind of grew up with that, so it's just normal for me.
For people to be sensitive. Do you know what's worse than my deodorant? My sweaty balls.
Yeah, it's fair.
So,
Jesus Christ, Reese.
My armpits after a day in action.
But you can get unscented deodorant. But
how does that even work?
I don't know. It just stops you from smelling badly.
Well, it just cancels it out.
Yes, essentially.
Rather than masking it.
Yes.
And why do they not sell it anywhere then? Why do they only sell?
They must. They must. What? There must be a thing.
But what happens?
I wonder if the states or other countries have no scent zones. I'm curious.
But what is that? Like, but it's a bit late though. If I've got an appointment and I go there and on the door it says no scent, it's like, what am I supposed to go and change my clothes and shower and return?
I think it's more along the lines of like perfumes and or the sprays men put on colognes and stuff like that.
Nobody wants to smell like a secondhand car salesman. But
right. It's more like. Think of it along the lines of light pollution and noise pollution. It's scents. It's like anything that's extreme to the extreme, we're kind of toning it down. So if you've got like a kind of like a mild deodorant, nobody's going to fucking complain.
That's okay. Sort of that, does it actually cause people pain?
No, it's not a pain thing. It's like some people have sensitivities to really powerful. I don't understand it. I really don't. I didn't look into it, right? But I know that that's a thing.
I come from a place of just, I've never, no one has ever even talked about that.
Kind of like strobing lights at the beginning of a movie. Like,
that's different. That can induce epilepsy. That's a real thing.
No, but I mean, I'm saying that there are people who have allergies to specific scents. And so it's kind of the same idea of like, please don't bring peanuts into our school. Beware, there's flashing lights happening. And please don't wear any strong
sandalwood
scents.
Is my kryptonite.
I mean... This is my guess. I don't know. I never really did a deep dive into this sort of thing.
If you're scent sensitive, if I'm being really unfair and your life is a nightmare because of your scent sensitivity, send me an abusive email and I'm sorry. Educate me. But as it stands, I've never experienced it before.
I've never met it.
Too much aftershave on.
I think it's the closest thing
I can ever relate to.
But honestly, I think it's two pronged. I think it's one. I think there are people out there who are very sense sensitive. And secondly, I think it's just the same along the lines of like noise pollution and light pollution.
Okay.
We're just going to keep all the scents down to a moderate tolerable level. No extremes sort of thing for everybody. I think that's my guess. Yeah. But it's,
what's the timer on?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay. should we start talking about
Let's talk about the episode, yeah. Okay, I gotta get a haircut.
Okay, so this episode is called, and he's a friend of the show, Stephen Harper, Star Trek lover.
Oh, God.
Did you know that Stephen Harper loves Star Trek?
No, I don't care. I love that we're still talking about Harper.
I know. It's just very, I just love how angry
I feel like we should also keep talking about Jason Kenney, even though he's no longer doing anything.
I know. There's something so comical about him.
Right.
So anyway, so this is, he's never come out saying that he's a Star Trek lover. He's never been massively open about it, but there's a bunch of sources close to him and anecdotal stuff where people talk about it.
I mean, I don't really feel like it's something you need to be closeted about. Star Trek
apparently
is pretty awesome.
Apparently in politics it is.
Really?
Yeah. So
Star Trek is awesome.
So apparently, but it's the classic series from the 60s that he loves.
Okay. That's awesome too. I haven't really watched many of them.
Apparently not so much The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, or any of the other stuff. I'm not really into Star Trek, to be honest. But,
really? Star Trek is great, man. The old Star Trek. Not the new fucking shit like Picard. Oh God, what a fucking dumpster fire Picard is. But anyway, I won't get into it because I can get into it and I won't get into it.
And apparently...
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, good. And a lot of people were saying apparently that if he just was a bit more open about it, people would like him more, because why not? If it'd be nice.
Well, of course, because there's no Star Trek haters out there.
No, they just go, oh, he's like Star Trek. He's got a passion.
What a fucking dickhead. He likes Star Trek. Like, there's nobody, yeah. You know, that's not a thing.
And yeah. I think it's that fear of being seen as like a geeky nerd.
I mean, okay.
Maybe it's more of a thing on the right. That
oh, that's interesting.
Like manly men don't.
Don't
like,
watch Star Trek?
Don't watch Star Trek. Yeah. I'm not interested in a hypothetical future.
But the, okay, so here's the fucking thing is Star Trek, which is, and this is my only little mini rant. I won't go on. Okay, but like Star Trek as opposed to Star Wars, and Star Wars has its own philosophical stuff that you can get into, sure. You know, about, you know, being a Jedi and what that means. But Star Trek in its heyday, not today, but in its heyday, was all about philosophical and moral and sociological debates, discussions, and arguments and ideas. It was amazing.
Well, yeah, this is the first interracial kiss.
Well, here's
the stand-in as well.
Like, not only that, but just keeps going, like, yeah. Into not just stuff that has to do with our world like that, but like philosophical arguments and ideas you wouldn't hear of anywhere else. Here's an example on Voyager. There was an episode where their doctor, which was a hologram, okay, which was only meant to be used in emergencies, was because they're lost in space. The hologram was turned on and left on 24 hours a day. And so it became its own personality. It kind of developed a personality. And later on in the series, it went on a little voyage of its own and met with other holograms that were in a rebellious state. They had rebelled from their quote unquote masters, and they were their own individual independent beings. And they try to convince him to leave his crew because he's a person, not just a hologram, not just a program. And it kind of culminated in him, of course, returning to his crew, but talking to the captain and saying, am I a member of this crew? And the captain is like, of course you are. And then he's like, then I want the same rights and privileges as the rest of the crew members. Like, I want my own, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, fuck, that's fascinating. That's a
fascinating idea.
It's a fascinating concept to think of, like, does this program deserve the same rights as a human, because is it alive? Is it not alive? That's what Star Trek in its heyday, that's what everyone loves about Star Trek, is these moral dilemmas. So it's not just about like, phase your fire. It's like.
Why does Hopper like it then? This is like a hypothetical future with no money. Right. It's like almost like space communism.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Why does Hopper like it?
Harper loves space communism. That's a bumper sticker. That's going to be on our store.
That'll be the title of the show.
Harper loves space communism.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to get into a little bit more about his history with Star Trek personally, but we've got a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Short break where you can learn about things that maybe other podcasts and sometimes stuff you can buy.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to...
Or just dead silence. No, I'm going to... Nobody bought airtime on our show.
I talked about this 2 weeks ago. I'm going to do it again. I think we should have like a little 10-second audio drama leading up to this commercial. Here we go. Ready? You're a child and you're stuck in a closet and you can't escape. And the only way you can escape is if you listen to this commercial. Okay? And I'm your angry uncle that's put you in the closet. Here we go. Ready? Put some music and sound effects. Let's go.
I don't want to do this.
No. Okay. Never mind. Let's just fucking play the ad, I guess.
The pandemic has taught us that national solutions to global problems do not work.
We are currently facing one of the most challenging moments in human history. In recent years, complex problems like the COVID-19 pandemic, climate crisis, and persistent racial and economic inequity have brought into sharp focus the need for government to work differently. Our current model of government isn't working. So what's the solution?
Government needs to think about itself less as an administrator, more as an orchestrator and a facilitator.
There is a growing movement of changemakers around the world who are pushing beyond the usual debate about what government does in order to address the more fundamental questions of how government should operate. This podcast shines a light on their work to help us understand how society would benefit under a government better equipped to solve modern issues.
This is just reimagining the entire way that government plays a role in people's lives.
From the Center for Public Impact and Apolitical, this is Reimagining Government, a podcast that explores radical new approaches to addressing the most pressing issues of our time. My name is Adrian Brown, and I'm the Executive Director at the Center for Public Impact. Throughout this podcast, I'll be joined by a series of expert hosts and guests to discover what it means to reimagine government at every level and in vastly different cultural contexts to tackle the most pervasive issues of our time, like climate change, inequity, and more.
First and foremost, every level of government needs to be actively involved and working together if we're going to respond sufficiently to the problem.
Subscribe to Reimagining Government on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. Together, we can redress the balance and reimagine government so that it works for everyone.
Welcome back.
That was exciting.
That was good. Welcome back.
All right, fine. Stuck all the joy in the room.
So this is from a magazine called the Christian Science Monitor.
Okay. Which, Christian Science Monitor?
Yeah, it was a wonderful publication.
We monitor science?
From a Christian perspective.
Okay.
Maybe this just in. Planet no longer flat.
Up for debate.
Yeah, up for debate. The sun orbits us. That kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Can you make a planet in 7 days? Right. Just classic science.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So they did an article in 2007, and it was called The Surprising Stephen Harper. And in that article, they talked about that he used to, as a youth, he would wear complete costumes and enter contests at Star Trek conventions.
Well, now I understand why he didn't want to talk about that.
And I could not find any evidence or photos. I think he literally had a private eye to burn all existing.
Right.
Like, there's people who took photos at those events.
Well, I mean, I imagine if
you're...
And they've
had, like, a burly security guard turn up and threaten them that...
I imagine if you're running for politics at the level that he was, someone is going to be your social media manager, and they're going to do a deep dive and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
You need to scrub your Star Trek history.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't think it was... Yeah.
Delete your browser history. Good stuff. And then when I was looking at it, and this is a random thing, when I Googled it, Stephen Harper was also a character. There was a character in Star Trek called Stephen Harper. There was Captain Stephen Harper. He was a Starfleet officer who serves as captain of the USS T'Pol. So it's like a backstory character somewhere in the mythology of Star Trek. There's one called Stephen Harper.
Okay.
Whether it was named after him, I've got no idea.
Well, that'd be funny.
Whether he knows that exists, I don't know. But I'm sure he'd be happy if he did know. And that's interesting because the other thing is that I wanted to talk about... and I was like, oh, I wonder if anybody else is into sci-fi. And Trudeau is a massive Star Wars fan.
Okay.
And
I really figured it would be the other way around.
Yeah, I space communism is more Trudeau's thing, definitely. Whereas a galactic empire does feel more Harper-ish.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlimited power!
Yeah.
So, okay. Trudeau's a massive Star Wars fan.
So he does a podcast with one of his best friends every year.
Trudeau?
Trudeau does. It's a podcast he does, which is like him just not talking about politics, just with a friend.
Twice a year,
like once a year or something.
He has a once a year podcast,
and he talks about
that's funny.
And in the last one, he was
see you next year, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
He was talking about how much he loved Terry DeMonte is his friend, who's the Globe and Mail deputy arts editor, or something to do with
journalism or a thing. He just basically talked about how much he loves Andor.
I keep hearing it's a great show. I've tried watching it. I've got a couple, maybe two or three episodes in, and my friends are like, you just got to keep going, man. It gets so much better. I'm like, I guess. Not to go on a rant, but Disney Plus television shows and I'm not the only one who felt this. I looked this up and I found like a Reddit thread of people going like, what the fuck is happening? They feel rushed, unpolished, kind of pushed through without the quality you'd expect from Star Wars, from Disney. It just, and I'm not the only one who feels this way. It just feels, everything feels rushed. And Andor doesn't as much.
Obi-Wan
felt rushed.
Obi-Wan, yeah, when he sneaks a girl out under his coat.
Yeah.
That felt like a rushed script job.
The whole thing feels rushed.
Put her in a robot.
Right? Or you like, know. I don't know, the whole
hover,
thing.
Yeah. Hover her above your head like a...
So maybe I'll give Andor a shot again because I just keep hearing it's great.
It was okay.
It was okay. Oh, what, I mean, what an endorsement.
You said it was rushed. It was kind of slow.
What an endorsement.
The thing is,
it was okay.
There's a bunch of British actors who used to be in soap operas in the UK.
Oh, really?
So it really clouds my perspective of it. Because
so
like,
they're cheap actors, in other words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's cheap British actors.
Way to go, Disney.
So when you watch it, you're like, imagine to a North American audience, they're like, oh, wow, these people are gritty. And I'm like, oh, he was in EastEnders.
The what?
He was in EastEnders.
Oh, is that a...
It's a British soap opera set in the East End of London.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
People say things like, get him out of here! And stuff like that. I love you! That kind of thing.
All right.
Just imagine that. Three nights a week for 30 minutes.
Okay, so is that...
But also, I don't know if you saw this. I shared a video of Trudeau at the premiere
of Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
I did. We got... Fuck, it kind of went viral for us.
And
how many hits did we get?
He brought us down along too. Justin, how did you like the movie?
Great.
Was it
the best one? It was better than The Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars. At least I think so.
Was it what you expected?
No, more. Much more.
So that was the clip. And, which is funny, but the comments... Did you see
vitriol.
Any of the comments on
just
TikTok?
So much fucking hate towards Trudeau.
He was annoying then back too.
There was like, there's two types of comments, which is people just trashing Trudeau and then people responding to those trash saying, he's eight, man. Fucking relax.
His eyes are manic looking at this age too, just like Mama. God bless. And then piece of shit, even as a child.
For liking Return of the Jedi. Was it Return of the Jedi?
It was Return of the Jedi. No, just because they don't like him. His face was so punchable back then, too. He's eight.
Yeah, man. Angry people love to be angry no matter what.
This one made me laugh, though. He answered the question directly.
That's funny. That's so good.
Somebody else said, I will always remember skateboarding with him in front of the Parliament. He was going to school with some of my friends. It was a random comment from someone who skateboarded with him at that age. In front of Parliament. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
And I just find it so, like a pair of assholes, him and his dad are going to watch a movie, a pair of us. And it just makes me realize, but it's so funny. Anytime we post any kind of,
anything to do with Trudeau,
this has had 40,000 views.
Jesus.
With no promotion, just organically 40,000 views because of the rage and the counter rage in those comments about people basically saying, somebody else was saying stuff like, hey, we should have taken him out when he was that young. Or,
Jesus.
Or if I had a time machine, all that kind of thing.
Oh my God, man.
So anyway, this was the most offensive one. Go back in time and force transgender on him.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. But yeah.
Jesus.
So anyway, so
the fucking hate, man, it's crazy.
Which is so funny because you realize that you just realize when we posted videos of Stephen Harper performing and singing Old Sweet Child of Mine, there were just a couple of comments. It didn't get a lot of traction.
Right.
But the amount of vitriolic hate for Trudeau, who as a child was like, hey, I enjoyed Star Wars. I went to see a movie with my dad.
It's insane the amount of hateful comments are in that thread.
It was just mind-blowing. But anyway.
If you want to see it.
That wasn't the point of this episode.
It's on our TikTok. Just go check it out. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't the point of this episode. But at the same time, it was... to something that happened when I was in the process of researching this, and I found that clip of Trudeau going to the premiere.
Oh, okay.
If anyone knows any other prime ministers who are into sci-fi, I do like
the fact that Harper was into Star Trek and Trudeau's into Star Wars. It seems appropriate.
Did John Diefenbaker like Planet of the Apes, for instance?
Yeah, that's probably not going to get as much hate.
What's the other one? The one who did the Shawinigan handshake?
That was...
Jean Chatanhal, the one I can't say his name.
Jean Chrétien.
Jean Chrétien. Did he like Soylent Green, for instance? Or Logan's Run? What prime ministers appreciated what sci-fi? That's the question everyone wants to know.
This is...
Email us, CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com, if you know of a former prime minister or future prime minister who enjoys sci-fi.
This is good shit, man.
Thanks.
If you actually want to
help us, then, and you enjoy the show and you want to support us, and you enjoy the hate fuel that we pour onto TikTok about just interesting the people they're discussing, go to patreon.com/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.
I got to say, like, this was fun to talk about, but it's probably one of our weaker episodes. The episode was like, Stephen Harper likes Star Trek, and that's it. He likes Star Trek.
And Trudeau likes Star Wars.
And Trudeau's still like that
and people,
was.
And people hate Trudeau.
But like, there was nothing else. That was.
You said you wanted a quick one because you're going for a haircut.
Fine.
I'm not going to delve deep into a topic that has many layers to it. I just thought it was interesting.
All right.
And also.
I had fun, but I was just saying, like, it was a little weak as long.
Why does Stephen Harper like space communism?
I was just saying, like, I'm just trying to keep you on your toes, man. Like, you know, I still don't feel like, you know, I don't know. It was all right. It was okay. It was fun to talk about.
I ask you a question. Did you know that Stephen Harper liked Star Trek before this episode?
No, I didn't.
You do now.
Okay, fine. I've been educated.
There you go. Thanks. You've been educated. Something Thanks. Really important that everybody needs to know.
What's coming up next week, Reese? For our special friends, our Patreon.
Our special Patreon friends. Oh, we're going to talk about the Confederate germ warfare that happened out from Canada.
What is that?
Canada was a neutral
country. Don't ruin it.
Canada was a neutral country. It wasn't fully a country, but it was a neutral territory during the American Civil War.
Okay.
And it was used to launch very early germ warfare against the Union side by the Confederates.
Okay, that's going to be interesting.
And that's going to be behind the paywall, baby.
All right. And if you'd like to check it out, go to patreon.com/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring. We would love your support. And we are...
And don't forget to let me know if I'm a dick talking about scent sensitivity.
Oh yeah, email Reese. Give him a
let me know. Let me know why I'm wrong and how my armpits being lightly scented ruins your life.
We look forward to those.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Bye. Guys. Bye, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf from the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.